Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So you know, one of our favorite things is to bring friends onto the podcast to just drop knowledge for y'all, especially new friends. And Luca Hosovar is a new friend of both Jen and mine, and he seriously drops so much knowledge in this podcast coming at you on mindset and how to have the mindset to do the things you need to do to become the person you want to be in life, regardless of what aspect of life that's in. Here's a little background info on Luca. Luca is the founder and co-owner of the Vigor Ground Gym in Slovenia and owner of Vigor Ground Fitness and Performance in Seattle, Washington. Both gyms are recognized as leaders in coaching in each of the respective countries, where they have cumulatively coached and transformed over 9,000 clients in total since 2006. He's personally coached over 4,000 clients from the highest level of professional athletics in the NBA, NFL, UFC, MLB, college, and high school levels. He's helped with rehab patients with many different injuries and conditions and clients from every walk of life looking to achieve looking, feeling, and performing better. And again, this doesn't just have to do with performances, doesn't just have to do with athletics. Luca dives in on the mindset and how you can start becoming that person you want to be. Here we go.
Okay, hold up. Before we dive into this incredible episode with Luca, it's a good one. I got to say that when you scroll his Instagram page, you'll see that a lot of the things that he does or he coaches, he's doing barefoot, and he actually gets his clients to do things barefoot as well, which means he's kicking off his shoes in the gym and completely utilizing the strength of his feet. Well, what's cool is that when you wear Vivo barefoot shoes, I get to be the one who never has to kick my shoes off because I'm already having that access to the ground in these barefoot type shoes. There's zero foot drop, which means that where your heel is to where the ball of your foot is the same length, the same amount of cushion. It's not pushing you forward towards your toes. You get this even distribution between your foot, and you actually get to utilize your foot. And that is so important and missing, especially when it comes to movement and exercise. There's been a code change. Use code OPTIMAL now at checkout to get that 15% off. The code is OPTIMAL. And this isn't just for one-time purchase. Anytime you want to come back and check out Vivo Barefoot Shoes, use TOB15 and just free your feet, get your feet to feel the ground again and be able to respond, gain strength, and move better. Luca, thank you so much for taking the time to be able to be here with us. We genuinely so enjoyed our time at your summit that you put together. I mean, mainly for coaches, but it was just, you cultivate this energy of people and good humans that is sometimes rare. So I just appreciate you as a human and thank you for being here.
My pleasure, and thank you. Thank you so much for the kind words. That's the type of stuff that continues to kind of fuel the fire, should I say. You know, is seeing that, experience that, meeting new people like yourself and Dom, I love it. I mean, there's nothing better to be able to, you know, share your gift. It's like that quote, I can't remember who said it, right? But it's the purpose of life is to develop your gift. And what should I say? That I forgot it, but it's like the point is to give your gift away. And so I think that everybody that came there did that. I think that you're doing that. And, you know, if I can connect with people like that, that just makes life better.
You know, I think it's so awesome. And I absolutely had a blast at this amazing just community you cultivated out in Seattle. And I kind of want to ask a little bit about, you know, where that comes from, because it's unfortunately kind of rare that you find a group that large of people who are just all so genuine and there for the right reasons. And, you know, were there lessons that you learned along the way, especially coming into, you know, owning your own gym? Sometimes people, I feel like they're just diving in for the business of it, but they don't know how to cultivate all the people around them that are in it for the right reasons.
Looking back now, foresight 2020, I think I have some thoughts on that. As I was doing it, I definitely think that part of it was me growing up in this culture of sports and team sports. I mean, my basketball was my love for a long time. I went from, you know, high school. That's how I came to the U.S. Played college ball, went overseas and played for a while. But is that team camaraderie? for somebody that almost found kind of solace and support in a team, I think that I wanted to cultivate that both in, you know, the gym when I started the gym and having a team, but then also looking as, you know, the community of Renton as a team. And then also like my peers and my friends and the people that are in industry as a team. I think that that's where it stemmed from because, you know, together everybody achieves more, right? That's the acronym of team. And you just need, you know, you kind of are chiseled by, I would say, the people around you, right? Like iron sharpens iron. And it was just such a, I do believe that, you know, the way that you cultivate culture is like living your values and attracting. If you guys ever heard of the lighthouse analogy, and the lighthouse analogy to me is like so powerful because, like I said, it's like the lighthouse just shines and attracts. Or should I say, you know, guides and keeps people safe without having to, you know, go out and save people like a tugboat. The tugboat goes out a lot of times when you try to save somebody that's drowning, they pull you down with them, right? But a lighthouse shines in a storm and you know, whether the wind's blowing, whether the waves are so high, it's trying to crash it and pull it, it can't shift it. And to me, that's like a lighthouse represents character. Right? It represents the way that you live your life with the behaviors every day that support your values and that attracts. Now, you know, and I'll first reference something that like I had in my teenage years, you know, I had rough teenage years and I did a lot of dumb things. You know, I was in organized crime and had a lot of, let's just put it this way, that I was certainly not a lighthouse. And I certainly was in, you know, basketball, basketball fitness pretty much saved my life. And when I started coaching, and the feeling that coaching gave me was the exact opposite of my previous life, which was I was helping people. And that was, there was a feeling that I got addicted to be honest, you know, where instead of taking and, you know, doing wrong things, I was actually helping somebody become better. And so that's what kind of like I latched onto. And when I went into business, and even before that, when I was still just a coach, you know, doing personal training by myself, I really committed to this that, you know, I'm going to do the exact opposite and kind of level out the karma and, you know, be a lighthouse and behave in these ways I would be inspired by, that I would be attracted to, you know, and the opposite of what I used to do. And that's kind of been my guiding light. You know, coaching was one of those things where it sounds cliche and it sounds a little corny, but, you know, legitimately, when you help somebody, like you get this amazing gift back, right? Like when somebody says, hey, listen, like I'm out of back pain. I lost this much weight. It's changed my life. My energy is different. I'm confident in myself, you know, or whether it was in sport and they were like, oh, I made the team and I got a college scholarship. I mean, I got such a high from that, you know, and I've never let it go. And I've been doing this for a long time now. And like every single time somebody shares something like that with me, I still get a high. I'm addicted to it, you know? And so I think that, you know, when you determine who you want to become, it's a very, very powerful question. It's a question I still ask myself, like, who do I want to become? And, you know, that question then has behaviors associated with it. And those behaviors then attract. And, you know, it starts from, like I said, when there's a lot of people that say, well, but I don't have a team and a business and it's just me. I'm like, that's the most important thing. You know, culture is, the culture of you is character, right? And as you build, as you, you know, you go to seminars or you meet people, sooner or later it comes out, you know, and hopefully it's the right type of light and it's the light that attracts. So hopefully that explains it, but that's, you know, kind of the philosophy, that I've lived for the last decades, before it was very different.
I absolutely love everything that you're saying. And it just, it brings up something. A friend wrote this in a caption and he said something along the lines of, I hate when people use the term self-made. Oh, I want to promote that I'm self-made, but it's really, no, I'm community made. Like everyone around me is who builds me up, is who's allowed me to get to this point. And I feel like a lot of what you're saying in who you attract and how you attract and how they have helped you to build up is outlining just that. You know, yes, you are the founder and the co-owner of these gyms, but you don't do that alone. And and cultivating your energy in order to attract this community is everything. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, if you feel comfortable sharing, what is it, the values that you carry that maybe have cultivated into this culture that you embody?
Absolutely. And I mean, we have like 11, but I think that if we at least touch on some of them, I think that it'll certainly be, I guess it'll shine a light on like, what are the things that matter?
Yeah.
And one of them, the last live summit that we could do before this one, so that was 2019, the theme was leave it better than you found it. And that's one of the value. One of the values, it's almost like every value has a tagline that you could put on a t-shirt. I think that's important. But what that really means is like being a servant leader. And that could be a thing on a micro level and a macro level. So if I see a client today, my goal is to leave them better than I found them. So they're going to leave the session feeling better, more inspired, encouraged, empowered, in a better mood, more confident, with less pain, with a PR ringing the bell. If one of my coaches, that day I helped them with something, maybe overcome an obstacle, a struggle, teach them something new, maybe just listen to them, right? And they're able to feel, I don't know, let go of something that's been stressing them out and just have somebody to listen to them, which is important. But then on a more macro level, hey, did we do something in this community this week? Did we do a charity boot camp and donate funds to some organization or somebody that really needed them, right? In the industry, if I put on this this event every year, does it make the industry better? So that it's literally like a philosophy that you're looking almost through this lens, and then little stuff like, hey, I came into the gym. Did I clean it up so it was better than when I found it, or at least the same, right? If you look at that and ask yourself that question, you can then start behaving in a different way. So that's a huge one. Honestly, it's one of the top ones, being a servant leader and leaving things better than you found them. Another one is commitment, all in. And that's just a big thing for me, because I feel like if you truly want to achieve something, become somebody, do something, you can't really dabble too much. And this whole all in, and I've, my life has been very much so about being all in on things. And like, unfortunately, sometimes not on the right, not going in the right direction. But commitment is, once you commit, a lot of the stuff falls off. It's like a decision. And I think it was Tony Robbins I heard said this first, right? Decise means like you cut other options off. And I think it's important that if you're trying to achieve something, that you go all in on it, right? Because now it's like it narrows the focus. It's like that picture of, if you got a lot of little arrows going around a circle, but if you made all those arrows point in one direction, you'd move a lot further and a lot faster in that direction. I think that can sometimes be a challenge. Another one is excellence. Now, I call this chasing the unicorn. So chasing the unicorn would be the tagline, but it truly means like you're never going to catch the unicorn. It's something that's like, you're not going to catch it, but chasing it, the journey of continuously improving, some people will call it Kaizen. For me, I just, since I love Mark Fisher, I think I got the unicorn stuck in my head. But it's that whole premise of, am I improving every day in many, many different ways? I think that in this industry, a lot of times, we can get stuck into, hey, I just want to improve on getting better at training. But what about communication, behavior change? 8 years ago, I started studying change psychology and neurology, and like the things that I believe really helped people change. It's almost like the foundation, right? Not just the methods and the tactics and the exercises and the coaching cues, which I think are extremely important. But I started looking at these different pockets of who do I need to become? Oh, I need to become a better communicator. Oh, I need to understand why people do the things that they do. Right. So it became this ongoing journey of like learning to go towards excellence. Then another one that's very, very important is like respect, right? Give respect to get respect. And we have a very, very diverse community, and it's so important. I was born in Yugoslavia back in 81, you know, pre-war, after war became Slovenia. I've lived in a lot of different countries and continents around my life, which I'm very grateful for, because I was able to take in so many different cultures and languages and people, and understand that we're all so much the same. And it's so important to, you know, give respect, because I feel like today, you know, sometimes you kind of wait for it. I'm going to wait for respect first. It's like, you have to give it to get it. And so all the time, you know, I thought about this when I was in Japan, and somebody was mentioning this to me, is like, you know, they talk about how low would you bow to the doctor that's saving your son's life, right? Like, that's the type of respect you want to give to people, and then you'll receive it back. And, you know, once I started doing that, because I used to be a knucklehead and not do that, I was like, wow, like, the way that people treat you when you give respect is the way that you want to be treated, but you have to give it first. So, and you know, it took, here's what was interesting, right? It took a while. If you asked me, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, would you mind sharing some of these values? And, you know, I'd probably give you some values that I read somewhere that were cool, but didn't really think about, you know? And I think it's an important question for anybody to ask themselves, like, what do I stand so strongly for that I'd pretty much die for it, right? Or what do I stand against? And I mean, it's not usually a thing that maybe you can figure out in one afternoon, but it, at least it starts giving you direction. And let me just share something that was really powerful for me as far as how to even develop values or think about like what mattered to me is this concept of collecting role models. And I started thinking about the people that I really admired in my life. Now, they could be people I don't know. So, you know, it could be a Richard Branson, it could be a coach in the industry, or it could be my dad, right? But I was like, what do they do that I really admire, right? And there would be a thing that they would do. So maybe it was like Richard Branson, it was philanthropy and, you know, giving back. It's like, okay, I want to be like that in that area. I want to behave like that. I was like, oh wow, this person is so kind, right? Which is another one is heart and hustle, which is basically like, be kind, work hard. That's actually another one of our values. But I would look at that and be like, man, that person inspires me because that they behave like this. Or even, you know, collecting role models to me means friends that are great fathers. I'm like, wow, like I don't have kids yet, but I look at that person and I want to behave like that, and then start studying it, right? You're collecting role models, and it doesn't have to be one person. Like, you can go, wow, this person does this amazingly well. Let me learn and find out how they do that. Let me ask them, you know, the methods or where they learned it or how they approach it, what their principles are. And that helped me develop essentially kind of like this, like I said, this baseline of values. But I think you can do it for anything, right? If you're somebody that's wanting to improve in a certain area of your life, collect a role model, right? And a role model could be like, you see somebody go like, wow, like this person moves so well. I want to be able to move like them, right? And what tends to happen is you might, you know, for instance, Jen, like somebody will start following you and going, I want to do all the movement flows and the different exercises that Jen's doing for 10 minutes every day. But 6 months later, guess what? Like, you're going to move way better. May not move like you, but a lot, lot, lot better.
Oh yeah.
Right. And that's collecting a role model. And honestly, it's one of the most powerful things that you can do. If that's the mindset that you have, is, you know, look at people that inspire you and then dig deeper into what they do, why they do it, how they do it. And start implementing, you know, little by little, the behaviors that they have in their days and lives.
I think that one of my favorite things is right when Jen asked that question, you answer first by saying, we have 11 of them, you know, and it's a we thing. And it's a thing that you can tell you have as a part of your community. And not only do you have the 11 words, you have tag phrases to go along with them to help it make more sense to people. And everything you just went through right there, the collecting of role models, it's like someone may start out saying, hey, I want to move like Jen. And then once they start doing the things that she does, like the 10 minutes of mobility a day, they might realize, hey, my goal actually wasn't to move like Jen. My goal is all these things that I'm feeling in my body now. Like, I'm moving a lot better. I'm feeling a lot healthier in life. And I think that that's one of the coolest things that I've seen you do is you say, I want to help people change their bodies so that they can change their story. And I want you to speak in a little bit to what that means. Like, how does changing our body help us change our story in life?
Every single time when I was working on creating that tagline for the website, and I thought about every person, you know, and at this point in time, I mean, we've coached thousands and thousands of people, and I've probably personally done thousands of strategy sessions, you know, which is a person sitting down and finding out, you know, what made you reach out to us? Like what, you know, what do you want to achieve? At the bottom of that, there was always a narrative, right? So if somebody says, I'm in pain and I want to get out of pain, you know, it's my hip, it's my low back, I want to lose weight, I want to get stronger. If, you know, every why question that kind of dug deeper would come to a story, right? There was a story that they wanted to change, whether it was, you know, not feeling like they're enough or building confidence or wanting to be a role model for their kids, right? Some deep, I would say, anchor that was driving them to that change. So I realized that like people want to change their bodies. Now, whatever that is, I don't have any judgment around what any person wants to do because whatever it is that they want to do is the right thing. So if they want to get stronger, if they want to move better, if they just want to feel a certain way, everybody wants to feel a certain way when they're starting a fitness program. But it was all to change a story. And we all ourselves want to change a story. You know, I wanted to change my story from, you know, being this knucklehead kid to doing something that actually I could feel proud of. And that was kind of through a vehicle of, you know, first basketball and then fitness. When a person, you know, gets stronger, many times what happens is that, like, and like I said, I speak from the, you know, so many people that we've coached that will, I have personally said this to us, right? They first go, maybe that they visual, you know, like, oh, I want to change. I want to lose weight. I want to do this, that, and the other. But then they like, they feel better and they get stronger and they get more confident. And they like, hey, like I went and did something today I never thought I'd do. I went and went and asked for a raise, right? And it's like, I went with confidence. I went and asked for a raise. Like I never do that, but like lifting heavier weights, being in this community where everybody's lifting me up, I just felt like I could do it. And I went and did it and I got it. And like, that's the type of stuff that like, I will literally shed a tear when I hear it, right? But because the story was, you know, maybe like, hey, like I'm not strong enough or I'm not worthy of these specific things. And as you change your body, because we know body and mind are connected.
Oh yeah.
And you know, and it's when seeing people not just change their bodies, but obviously automatically now it changes their narrative. It changes their worldview. Is so powerful. I'm as geeky as it gets when it comes to training. But this is the stuff that like really lights me up, right? That when you see these stories changing, the people start changing the stories about themselves, right? And that's why, you know, the tagline is like, we help people change their bodies so they can change the stories to their life. Because, you know, that's one of the things that's helping them change their story.
Well, and that's really what attracted me to you. Like, yes, like, I love your Instagram because you have incredible information. You move amazing. Like, you could just tell you get it. And I like to only follow people who I can tell kind of get it. But beyond just understanding movement and knowing how to guide someone, there's so much more to that. And it's exactly what you said. It's getting to see someone. And I feel like you're really helping someone see themselves as well when you get down to like, okay, I hear that you want to lose weight, but why? And what is that story? What have you been telling yourself? What are you afraid of? Or where is that coming from? How does someone get to that kind of deeper uncovering of what their story really is? Like, how do you help guide them into discovering what that is?
A couple of things. I mean, one is like, it's actually a I don't say a sales thing because it really is about questions. And I think that, so I studied questions for a long, long time because we got, you know, I'm another person, like I like to talk a lot. Anybody that knows me will know. I'm definitely not a person that you know, is the most quiet person. But I learned to, you know, shut the hell up and the 90-10 rule, you know, or at least the 80-20 rule that you ask questions. And the truth is, and here's the thing, Martin Rooney was the person that was like, hey, Luca, you know, to be interesting, you have to be interested. Mm-hmm. And probably about 15 years ago, I was like, wow, that's profound. So then I started testing it, right? I was like, okay, let me test this. And that was very challenging for me because I think that most people are not heard. They're not listened to. So it does one of two things. One, you either want to talk over people or just share your thoughts and opinions, or you do the opposite, which is just, you just quiet down, you know, kind of go in your corner and deflect. And if you can genuinely get interested in people's lives, you know, and ask questions, and not like a checklist, you know, I got to ask this question next, but genuinely be like, tell me a little bit more about that. You mentioned this. Could you tell me a little bit more about that? Right. And then diving deeper, people will share so much. And as they're sharing, they're actually going to answer their own questions or kind of like start giving their own narrative just because they felt it was a safe space. And there's something called psychological safety, which is they found that, you know, Google did these massive, spent tens of millions of dollars researching this, you know, what creates the best teams. And they found that it was psychological safety, which basically means that, like, you know, I feel safe to come to you guys, for instance, and even share my frustrations, right? My struggles, my frustrations, and I'll feel safe that I won't be judged and persecuted. I'll be heard, and then we can constructively work this out. Now, if you can create psychological safety amongst, you know, clients and just the people in your circle, they'll start sharing, you know, revealing what's been holding them back. Mm-hmm. There's something that I feel is really important that attaches to this because, you know, sometimes people say, well, you got to get to the bottom of it, right? But what also science has shown now and studies have shown is that if you dwell on things too much, right? So let's say you start kind of going down a rabbit hole of why you are a certain way. And it's maybe a way that you don't like being, right? You have certain behaviors that you don't like and you go down a rabbit hole of why you are this way. And a lot of times it could be, you know, some form of trauma, and it could be, you know, a capital T trauma or a lowercase trauma. But if you stay there too much, you're actually ingraining, I would say, that pattern as it is. So the key really is like, how do you start changing things into the opposite direction? Because behavior, right, is James Clear talks about this all the time, that, like, you know, every time you do something, you cast a vote for your identity. And if, you know, for example, let's take something that I'm not that great at, hockey. All right. So if I go and play hockey tomorrow and it would be a catastrophe, and somebody said, Luca, you're a hockey player, I'd be like, no, I'm not. Like, I went and played hockey. Now, if I played hockey 4 days a week for the next year and a half, and you ask me if I'm a hockey player, I'd be like, yeah, I'm a hockey player. Because I cast so many votes for that identity, right? So if I open a door for people all the time, I'd be like, yeah, like I think I have manners, or, you know, are you a fit person? If you exercise 4 or 5 days a week and you've done it for years, you'd be like, yeah, I'm a fit person. So the key here is, how do you start casting votes for this identity? And going back to the thing that I said earlier, who do I want to become, right? Mm-hmm. You start casting those votes. And I feel that, you know, and this is what we see a lot of too, is that people try to take too big of a chunk of action and they fail and they go like, see, I knew I wasn't like that. But the key is really taking smaller chunks and going back to, you know, and I promise, like, when I talk, sometimes I veer off, but I come back to it.
No, I love this. Keep going.
Completing the circle.
You know, there's this concept of, you know, we're talking about casting votes for identity. And I think it's important to attach, you know, this conversation of self-esteem. A long time ago, one of my mentors, Dax Moy, shared this with me, and I've been I've been using it ever since with clients, with, you know, with other coaches, that, you know, the way that you build self-esteem, and we get a lot of people that have kind of got to a place where their self-esteem is low. And I feel like our mission is, you know, part of our mission is like helping them build that back up, because it's going to transfer to all areas of life. But the reason why self-esteem is low is because if you say that you're going to do something and you don't do it, right? You put a debit in this self-esteem bank account, right? And if you do what you said you're going to do, you put a credit in a self-esteem bank account. And because we're so influenced now, so if you look at fitness and movement, you know, people are like, okay, great. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to train 5 days a week. I'm going to go on this diet. I'm going to transform. They take on all these massive steps, and then they don't do what they said they'll do. And boom, now all of a sudden you have all these debits in the self-esteem bank account. And if you have too many, like, you go bankrupt. You go bankrupt in self-esteem. And then you stop believing yourself. No matter what you say, you end up not believing it. So you won't do it. So the way that you shift that, the way that you start building that credit back up and improving that bank account, is that you do smaller stuff. So, hey, listen, tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm just going to go for a 5-minute walk. Okay, well, that's easy. Good. It's easy. Build it back up. Right? Then I'm going to do this. Like, because the thing is, as soon as you do something you said you're going to do, it builds a little bit more self-esteem, a little bit more confidence. And you have to inch back towards that. And there's other ways, obviously, that can help, is environments. So if I put myself, for instance, right, I'm going to sign up to go to Vigor Ground with my friend, it's going to be a very good chance that I'm going to show up there, right? So environment's going to help you get the workout in. It's going to help you be uplifted. Hey, instead of going out to the bar, I'm going to go, you know, to yoga with my friend, right? So get, like, create leverage in environments and start building that bank account back up. Because once, the thing is, when you have enough credits in your bank account, when people say, like, oh, you suck, or you're not, it won't touch you. You know, when people, it's like, how do you build confidence? Like, that's how you build confidence. Now, the reason I'm wrapping all this back around, because when we talk about casting votes for identity, it sounds a lot like building your self-esteem bank account, right? And it also attaches to, you know, how do we change our stories? Because sometimes we don't even, you know, we don't have to spend tons of time figuring out why we are the way we are. We can start building our new self. Like I said, we can start going, hey, who do I need to become? And start doing that. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the things that people do, it's almost like they have an emotion, and then that emotion, like, triggers an action, right? And then that action builds an identity. But the problem with that is that it's flipped the wrong way around. Because how many times in the day do you, you know, feel maybe tired or aggravated or jealous or, you know, all these different emotions? And, you know, so now all of a sudden you're angry or tired. Boom, now you do an action, right? But that's probably not going to be a good action.
Yep.
And it's going to create an identity maybe you don't want. So I always say, flip that around and choose your identity, right? And that's what I say when I, like, who do you want to become? Choose your identity first. Then what would that action be? To build that identity, do that, and then you're going to build it. Then you're going to get a feeling that you want. And, you know, when I said earlier that one of our values is, you know, commitment, right? All in. There's three things that I share with my team. Anytime anybody comes into our internship, and I ask them, I say, what is commitment to you, right? And people will share a lot of different things what that is. But commitment is three things to me. And number one is this. Do what is required, right? Do what is required. And do what is required can mean, you know, for instance, if somebody says, I want to be able to, I don't know, squat 500 pounds. Okay. Lifting once a week probably is not enough. The requirement for that is higher. You know, so anything in life that you want, there's a requirement for it. So that's number one rule for a commitment. Number two is do what you said you're going to do. Right? It's huge. Like, I feel like a huge business kind of advice for me is, like, if you just do what you said you're going to do, like, you're going to have a successful business. It's very, very hard to do. But this third one is, like, one that I think people skip. And it may be the most important, because like I said, it's not on people's minds the most. It's do it despite of emotions, feelings, moods, and thoughts.
That's huge.
That's tough too.
Oh, it's the toughest, right? It's the toughest, but it's the exact thing that we just mentioned about building identity. Because like I said, if I say I want to become this, like if I want to be a kind person, I'm not just going to be a kind person, you know, when everything's great and I'm happy and people are nice to me, right? It's like that's the identity you chose. So that's the behaviors you want to match to it, regardless of feelings, emotions, moods, and thoughts.
Yep.
Right. Or for instance, you're in a relationship and it's like you're having something bad happen to you that day, or you lost a client, or the market dropped, or, you know, you hurt your knee a little bit. Is that going to influence the way that you treat your partner? And it's like, if we follow those commitment rules, then it would be no. Right. Because there's a certain type of person that you want to be. And if you do it long enough, it just becomes who you are. It's like the four stages, right? There's learning, there's doing, there's becoming, and then there's being. And people always say, what do you mean by that, Luca? And I'm like, well, first you learn it and then you got to do it. You got to start doing it. But becoming is that phase where you do it. It's like conscious competence. You do it, but it's hard. It's not natural. Like you really got to focus on it. You got to have reminders in your phone. You got to have 4x6 cards to remind you. You got a screensaver on your phone, right? Being is like you just are. You've done it so long. It is who you are. It's your identity. Like you know no other way. Somebody wakes you up in the middle of the night. That's what you do. It's who you are. And I think that's the goal, you know, is like to get to that being phase, building that identity, you know, building that self-esteem bank account with these behaviors of who you want to become. And I always tell folks, I mean, I usually will go deeper into the story if people ask, but, you know, I'm a person that has changed as a 180. You know, you look at my life, the one point in time I will be in jail or I'll be dead. And now, like, I'm basically addicted to helping people. A lot of what I'm sharing is legitimately the things that I would think about and then do and put into practice and do daily, and anybody can do them. You know, anybody can do them, because we all essentially want to change, right? We all want change. We either want to get rid of something that's not serving us, or we want to, you know, build something or get something that serves us better. And I think it's important to, you know, have a lot of, I would say, self-reflection and, you know, assessment, because assessment creates awareness, and awareness is what precedes change, right? If you're not aware that something's not good or it could be better or you're doing it wrong, you're not going to change it, right? Mm-hmm. So, and with that said, we started off by saying, talking about community. Community is the thing that usually helps you become aware. All these people, like a lot of the people that were at the event, you know, Jay Faruja, who's one of my, you know, best friends in the world. And like, I love the guy to death, but we're also very, compassionately will challenge each other or go like, hey, like that thing that you did wasn't good, you know? Mm. And I take it because I know he cares about me and he says the same thing for me, right? I'll bring it up because I want him to be the best that he can be. He wants me to be the best that I can be. And like every person at event, like, you know, from Steve to Tony to Don, those people become essentially your mirrors in a way to help you become better, right? And that's why community is so important, because if you develop the right community, cliche as it is, but like, you know, the five people you surround yourself with, you become the six, right? Like if you got five fit friends, you're going to become the sixth fit friend. You have five friends that, you know, are financially doing really well, you'll be the sixth one, right? I mean, that's essentially what happens. I mean, it's a cliche, but there's a reason why it's been hanging around for so long, because it's true.
That's so cool. And I mean, it's funny, I'm looking over at some notes that Jen has written down, like coming into this podcast. I'm going to steal something that she had written down, but it's something she likes to say, that the do, be, and have. And it kind of really is parallel to that process you just talked about, doing and then becoming and then being. And again, it's not always going to feel good. And you kind of talked about this commitment. You need to commit to something, and how the community is so important. And I think I also read something, I was scrolling through your feed, where you talked about when you start committing to those values of yours, it's not going to feel good right away. It's not, it might even suck a little bit. You might start to find people are falling out of your life and you're going to ask, like, why is this happening now that I'm committing to these things that I know I want? Why does it feel like it sucks so bad? And I know where that came up in my own journey. I know where I felt like I was falling out of communities because of changes that I was making or things I was doing that I knew that I needed to do in life. So when someone gets to that becoming stage and they're starting to do the things and they find that, hey man, this really kind of sucks. How do you start to coach them out of that mindset of like, man, this is bad in my life now. Like I'm losing all these friends. I'm losing all this stuff. How can you help turn that mindset around in somebody when they're in that becoming stage?
I'm a big fan of storytelling. I mean, we've, you know, as humans, that's how we've shared information, you know, for thousands and thousands of years. And so I'm like, you know, in our sessions, in semi-privates, and I'm always telling stories. And then you have to constantly keep doing it, right? This is the thing that, like, people don't, and I think it's Don Miller said, you got to hear something 8 times to even register it. That doesn't even mean that you're going to actually take it in and fully like accept it. Just register it. And that's why repetition is so important. But I tell stories all the time. And like, as you know, as you bring that up, there's a story, you know, whether it's, like I said, the lobster or the snake, you know, when they shed their skin and they legitimately become like, I mean, they're completely replacing themselves, right? And it's gut-wrenching. But if they don't do it, they die, right? And that's transformation right there, right? It's like you're becoming a new person essentially, and letting go of that old person is extremely hard and it's painful, right? Because it's what's comfortable, and that's what we get. You know, the comfort is what keeps us there, and we are such social creatures that if you had, you know, these social constructs and communities, and they weren't necessarily serving you very well. But you know what? It was comfortable. And I'll go back to like, you know, when I was in a life of crime, like it wasn't serving me, but I felt this connection. It was like, oh, well, these people are there for me. But now, you know, were they truly? No, but it was comfortable, right? And so when you're letting that go, you're going to have, because we basically abide by the norms of the tribe. So if your tribe says, hey, we're going to, you know, drink 4 or 5 days a week, you know, that's what the norm is. So if you don't do it and it's like, oh man, like you're not cool anymore, right? You're trying to go home and sleep earlier and do some work and study, right? You're going to be pushed out of that tribe. And it's one of the most painful things. Like in our DNA, if you get pushed out of a tribe, even though the tribe is not serving you, you're going to have pain. And so the recognition, the awareness of that is step one. If a person can recognize that, like, hey, like, this is what's happening. It's painful, but I know what's happening. I'm transforming. I'm shedding my skin and like getting like new skin. And it's going to be hard, but man, is it going to be better. I love sharing this analogy. And since we talked about stories, yeah, I tell this story a lot to a lot of new people that come in. Life is like, everybody, you know, when we were young, we played video games. I mean, put it this way, at least my generation, it's kind of like Super Mario Brothers. You got to know it, right? It's like when you get to the boss, right? It's like the boss, if you lose to the boss in a video game, what do you do? Like, you don't stop playing the game. Everybody comes back and wants to beat the boss. And somehow in life, what happens is that like you get to an obstacle and a challenge. And many people are like, oh, I hate these challenges. But if I asked them, like, would you play a video game? If I gave you a video game and said, here's a controller, all you got to do is press the green button and forward, and like nothing else. Like, you'll get through the game. You'll beat everybody. No problem. You'd be like, that sucks. That game sucks. I don't want to play that game. Boy. There's no challenge in that game, right? There's no adversity. There's no fun. It's like, okay, cool. But that's life. Life is a game of a lot of bosses, like unlimited bosses. And then when you beat one boss, you know, you get some cool stuff. Like in the game, you get a new bazooka, another heart, or some cool stuff like that. But in life, you get, you know, a new skill set. You become more resilient. And so all of these, you know, I'm like, what you're doing is like every time you get to an obstacle, that's a boss in a video game that you're overcoming. You know, and the goal of life is to become the best damn player that you can be. So if you start looking at that and saying to yourself, oh man, here's another boss, here's another challenge. But man, when I overcome that, like I'm going to have like, you know, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to be a better leader. I'm going to be a better father, mother, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, whatever your obstacle and challenge is. And so if you can, you know, helping people to see that and feel that is step one, right? Because it ends up relating to the growth mindset. I would say the growth and the fixed mindset, which, you know, has been talked about a lot. But if you believe that, you know, that you can't change, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. Because here's how it goes. Like first, we change our understanding of self. Then once that happens, then we revise our belief systems, and then we change our lifestyle to match, right? So if you can help people kind of help them change that understanding, like, oh, wow, yes, like this pain and this challenge and this feels so uncomfortable because I'm getting better and I'm leaving behind the person that I don't want to be anymore and becoming the person that I want to be, right? Even though it's hard, now people have something to, you know, there's an anchor. It's like, okay, I can overcome this because I know where I'm going. And helping, like just helping, like I said, you know, I read a lot, and I always, if there's a story that that's inspiring to me, I always write it down on a 4x6 card, and I share that story, at, you know, whether it's in our sessions and our groups, whether it's on IG or, you know, or a story in my own life. And I feel that we have to, you know, to develop communities. This is the hard part. The hard part is that like you can't just show up a little bit, you know, here and there. It's like commitment. You got to do it all the time. You got to keep reinforcing, you know, these values, not just with the stories, but with the way that you behave. So I can't be here and say, hey, listen, guys, like it's really important to, you know, fill in the blank. And then I'm not the person doing it.
Right.
Right now, the audio doesn't match the video, and you got to make sure that, and this part, unfortunately, you know, a lot of, like I said, that with the growth of social media, which I believe is, I think social media can be amazing. But many times the audio doesn't match the video, right? Mm. I hear something, but then when I actually, you know, see it or I meet the person, it's not the same, right? It's not, those two things aren't matching. And if you can match those two things in your life, man, like I promise you, not only will like amazing things happen for you, but you will attract everything that you want.
Oh yeah. I mean, everything you're saying, it just continues to drive home this point of these behaviors that you get to step into, the things that you can take control of and you can do that really will have you becoming this person that you want to be. And it's something that Dom and I focus on so closely together in our person, in our relationship, but also our business and personal and everything. I mean, we even have a book that we're not always consistent perfectly at. However,
yeah, this is a good reminder for us to go back.
This is a good reminder. You know, we write down like three goals of our, within our relationship of what we get to do. And we usually do really small because as you know, as you said, like it's not always
spending. We've found that spending an hour of personal time with no technology together every day. So that's the 100% goal. We got to start with the 5% goal.
Exactly. So we dial it back, and then we do our personal, we do our business, and it's so important to see them to be continuously reminded of who, what we get to do in order to be, like, connected in the relationship, the business people we want to be, the personal, like in our personal lives, who we want to be. And that continual reminder is just, it's everything. And everything that you're saying, Luca, is the reason as well. Like, without even knowing you in person yet, I wanted to come speak at your event because I knew how you showed up and the people that you surrounded yourself that I knew. I was like, those are the people that I know I'm going to want to be around. And I was right. And I'm so glad that I listened to my gut on that. And I was just like, no, this is, I know I'm not talking to business people. Usually I'm always talking to, you know, the general population. However, I know that there's certain people that I want to be connected with and I want to know. And you were one of them. And the way you greeted me from the very beginning, your hug, just who you are has continued to prove that. And I just think this whole message is just going to help people understand how they can take those steps in those lives and in their lives and what they get to observe. And I hope that they continue to follow you as well, because besides just everything you can learn about the body, which you guys, if you go to his Instagram, which is just your name, Luca Hocevar, said that right? Right?
Yeah.
You know, and we'll drop that in the show notes as well, so you guys can easily just click on it and go follow him. But just the constant reminders of who you be and how you show up and the constant work you're doing to learn in the body as well. It's inspiring, and it's something that we get to look at as a role model. Like, that's who you are. That's who you've become. And I think you're just continuously being that. And we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
So much. And that's who we want in our circle.
And if you're ever in the Seattle area, you got to go check out Bigger Ground Fitness in the Renton area. Sick gym.
Oh,
so grateful that we got to hang and train with some incredible people while we were out there.
I was amazed. I think me and Dom still have some soreness from that leg workout.
No doubt, man.
Such a good time. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. Being surrounded by people that inspire you, making sure that if you do something today, make sure that you share with people, and shine a light on the great things that they do or how they make you feel, because it's going to only make them do more of it. And it's part of, honestly, it's like part of what I think that coaching is I think that one of the things, if you take all the geeky stuff out of the way that we do very well, is that we believe in people so much that over time they start going like, these people are either crazy or like that we really can do what they're saying that we can do. And they start believing in themselves. And if you can create this kind of circle of people that do that, and it's a nonstop challenge, shine a positive light, but then be there to support. I mean, it changes your life. And same thing. I'm so happy that, I'm glad that I reached out, that you guys came out. You are now part of the community. It's kind of like the Godfather. You're in. You can't get out now. whatever you ever need, I'm here for you. But I'm so happy because you guys are the dopest people, and I really appreciate you.
Appreciate that so much, man. And we got links dropped down in our show notes to everything, your gym, your website. If you're a coach who's looking to help more people, Luca's your guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Check that out. He's helping other coaches help more people every day. We're definitely going to be around and see you again, man.
I mean, how incredible is Luca? He's just such a great guy, and not only knowledgeable in what he does and how he teaches people, but it's really like the why behind fitness. And I hope you got that and you feel that after that episode. Be sure to subscribe if you haven't. And just if you can, leaving us a rate and review just helps so much so that other people can help to see this podcast, benefit from it, hear from incredible people. We're going to have so many other people like Luca and beyond who really are experts in what they do and how they're helping people. So I hope you stick around and join us next time.